welcome to Off the Shelf, Festival of Words. In this Ideas Alive episode, landscape architect and environmental historian Dr. Camilla Allen chairs a panel discussion with contributors from their recently published book, The Politics of Street Trees.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today for a discussion about the politics of street trees. As those of you who are listening in Sheffield will know, and possibly those of you further afield, Sheffield has some notoriety now in its relationship with its street trees. This is something that we first explored in a conference in 2019, and which we've been lucky to now publish in an interdisciplinary volume, The Politics of Street Trees, that was published earlier this year by Routledge. The Politics of Street Trees was edited by myself and Dr. Jan Wadstra, who is reader in Landscape Architectural History and Theory at the University of Sheffield. And the book takes an interdisciplinary and international perspective on the issue. Joining me here today are three of the contributing authors, a political scientist, a social scientist, and a biologist, who are going to give their perspectives on what makes street trees so political. We have Matthew Flinders, professor in the Department of Politics and International Relations, Nicola Dempsey, senior lecturer in the Department of Landscape Architecture, and her colleague in the same department, Dr. Ross Cameron. And starting with you, Matthew, could you tell me how you first became aware of the street tree crisis in Sheffield and what your response was?
I had a very interesting introduction to street trees. I didn't know anything about the issue at all until one day I was walking my dog in a local park and was suddenly aware of a huge number of police cars, riot vans, ambulances and fire engines and assorted vehicles and a huge amount of shouting and screaming. And I had by fate stumbled across one of the biggest events that really exploded the street trees issue. So I was walking my dog and suddenly saw old ladies being arrested, groups of people chaining themselves to trees, people trying to squeeze in gaps by walls. And it was as if suddenly a political explosion was happening on my doorstep.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that event in particular? I'm guessing as to where you live in Sheffield, but for those who maybe are less familiar with the city, what had you stumbled across?
I had stumbled across the Rustlings Road incident, which was part of a long-running saga. But what made this particularly interesting was the council had made a very poor decision to launch what was in effect an early morning SAS-style raid on the street trees in the area. What they hadn't realised was that local organisers were to some extent prepared, and signals went up, phone calls were made, people flocked to the site. Although the police tried to close the road, you could still get there via the park. It was a very poor piece of politics, basically, which went badly wrong in terms of the symbolism and the framing and the dynamics. If the council had wanted to pour petrol on the issue, then they couldn't have done it better that morning. And I just happened to be there viewing it very much as a spectator.
And as events in Sheffield became front page news, can you explain a little as to why the issue resonated so much across the UK and actually went on to become an international news story?
In explaining the street trees saga, there are a number of layered issues going on. There isn't any politics of street trees. There are multiple politics and games being played out. So at a broader contextual level, the event happened at a time when public trust in politics, politicians, political institutions was already very, very low. Then there was a more basic issue that if you ask any politician what really matters in terms of their constituency, he or she will not talk about big issues of economics, climate change as a broad issue. They will talk about local issues. They will talk about dog poo, parks, damp in houses. And it's often the things that are often overlooked that can suddenly flare up. And that's what happened in street trees. Street trees became an antennae or a lightning rod for a whole range of broader tensions. And I think that's what was really interesting. the issue started around a local authority, a PFI contract, and a failure of communication around street trees. But the way that specific issue was handled then resonated with a number of pre-existing and far broader tensions, and I'd argue actually it became not about the street trees. It became about the nature of politics in the city and more broadly how politics does or doesn't work.
And Matthew, why is it that the political dimension of something like street trees is often missing from public debate? And is there a way in which that could be changed?
Well, I think trees by their whole presence and nature are fairly stable. They're part of a canvas of life. They don't move, they don't speak, they don't wave. You only sort of realise and take them into account when something changes. And I think that's what really happened with the street trees. People who had grown up with a landscape, a living landscape that went through the seasons, their children might have played in the trees. The fruit would fall, the blossom and everything else. So when that part of the structure of life came under attack, I think what had been invisible for a long time suddenly became visible. And people cared, because there wasn't a good rationale for why these trees should be felled. And actually, what was even worse, it was almost impossible to get an explanation for why this was happening. And again, that just put layer upon layer on the existing distrust around politicians, but also that for some reason the communities weren't being listened to and were to be in some ways taken for granted. And it was that spark coming from the trees which made Sheffield change from the steel city to the stump city. And I think the long-term implications for Sheffield are massive. I don't think still today council leaders quite understand how it really damaged the international profile or branding of the city in a way which was really completely unnecessary.
Thank you. That was very, very thoughtful. To move on to Nicola, were there any particular incidences that sparked your interest in the issue?
I feel I came a little bit late to the proceedings. I live in Walkley. I didn't have the political debate being acted out on my street like Matthew did. Walkley hasn't got so many street trees. Walkley's kind of one of the wards, I think, in the city with the lowest number. So on my dog walk, I was not seeing this. On my walk to work, I wasn't seeing this. But I was becoming increasingly aware. And I think it was the issues around how the council was handling the potential felling of the trees on Western Road, the trees where they were there were trees that were very close to the residents' heart for a whole host of historical reasons, and then also on Rivlin Valley Road, so that long, beautiful avenue of lime trees, and suddenly starting to see these yellow ribbons and, you know, then understanding what was happening with those. Alongside this, and it wasn't related to the street trees, but it wasn't related to the street tree debacle, but I was watching a willow tree slowly die on my way to work. So this was en route. And this was something that made me realise that people have a very varied relationship with their street trees, because this was a tree that was being poisoned by residents. We found out that there were holes that were drilled into the bark, and it was probably because of issues of light, issues of potential danger, issues of leaf litter in the gardens. But it just made me realise that it's not a straightforward, everybody likes or loves street trees like perhaps I do and other people that I know do, and that it was a potentially polarising issue. And I think as I was becoming more and more aware of this, it just made me more interested in this.
Your research, Nicola, is on street tree strategies, and the contribution that you made to the politics of street trees looks at that on a national level. And I was wondering what you learned about how they affect the health and well-being of the trees in our towns and cities.
Yeah, this is a really big question. One I have to say I cannot answer yet, but who knows, that might be some future research that comes my way. When I was trying to find out about cities that have got street tree strategies, I only really came across one, and that was Sheffield. And that means that I was looking for strategies explicitly talking about street trees. There are lots of tree strategies out there, but they're often trees and woodlands. So we could say this is a bit of a semantics sort of thing, but actually I think it's quite important that Sheffield have, well, it's very interesting that Sheffield chose to create this street tree strategy as part of the contract that they had. So when we think about the health and well-being of the trees in Sheffield at the moment, I would say to date, the jury's definitely out on whether it's improved or increased the health and well-being of our trees. But if we look at strategies that other cities have created, I think one thing I can definitely say is that they all talk a lot about the importance of tree health, the importance of tree resilience, but then they all seem, or they often revert to pretty generic statements about saying things like, we will apply current good practice in all tree-related issues, which doesn't really tell us a lot about how they might be improving the tree health and well-being. I think one thing that we do see in strategies is some reference to, we'll increase tree canopy, we'll increase the number of trees. But when you drill down into looking at the detail, it then becomes a bit vague. And I would even look at Sheffield's new partnership strategy as an example. So there is an outcome in the strategy saying we will increase canopy cover. So let's presume that's about increasing numbers of trees. However, it doesn't stipulate how that will happen. It says that they will calculate tree canopy. So there's going to be a lot of measurement that might happen. Explore ways to monitor biodiversity, and then explore ways to enhance biodiversity. But actually committing to increasing the number of trees or improving the health, it's a difficult thing to do. And I think strategies might not necessarily be the best mechanism to make this happen. So in answer, I don't really know how they affect the health and well-being. But yeah, ideas for new research projects, I think.
Very much. And not wanting to put you on the spot, but now that Sheffield has a street tree partnership, a street tree strategy, and I'm going to add into the mix this street tree inquiry, Do you have any indication at this point as to how they're affecting practice and policy? I think especially given these uncertain parameters in which they're working.
Not much, but I do see that the process is very different to how it was before, and it's a lot more open and transparent. So if you want to find out what has been discussed in a partnership meeting, you can find out. Those meeting minutes are online. That was not happening in the past. Or if you wanted to find out what was talked about or discussed, you'd have to request a Freedom of Information request. You know, that was the only, I think, real way of getting any sense of what was happening before 2018. We can see, for example, a process of consultation about how they developed the new partnership tree strategy. Again, it was very open. Everybody was invited to take part in that. That was not happening prior. And just having those opportunities marks, I think, different practice. I think there's more people and more organisations that are being invited to talk to the partnership. For example, I, as part of what I do in the Department of Landscape Architecture, I've been working with some partnership members to design student projects. So where we'll be doing things like visualising street trees in streets that perhaps never had streets, and then presenting that to a wider group of people in the partnership. And that sort of thing is giving them opportunities and having discussions that they weren't really having before. So I think it is a good opportunity to see how the working together is definitely different. And it does seem to be across both the different, maybe it's still the usual suspects, you know, universities, but it's also different parts of the council, which I think that wasn't happening in the past as well. So some of that expertise in the Trees and Woodlands department, that just was not a part of the street tree strategy or the discussions that were going on around that in the past.
Thank you. And I think to take this this idea of a maybe differing points of view, Ross, a question for you. You've made the contention that if street trees matter, what is the matter with street trees? I was wondering if that was something you could elaborate upon.
we have to remember that as humans are also part of the biological world, so our attitude to trees is itself quite fascinating, but it's also quite often misplaced. So it's quite reasonable to understand that leaves in your gutters and blocked drains and lack of light can be problematic and do annoy people. At the same time, it kind of acts as a mismatch between the real value of trees and what we think they are and how we complain about them. So for example, we probably don't understand the benefits of trees widely enough. I mean, the UK before industrialization, trees dominated the landscape, but the natural climax vegetation in our landscape. And we evolved in a tree-dominated world. And we sometimes forget that, and we sometimes forget the benefits that come with trees. And so, for example, we know that trees do capture rainfall. They act as filters for that. They do stop flooding. We know, for example, that they will also change the microclimate around our housing. And it's quite pertinent with the current situation we have on energy costs in the winter, that a well-designed treescape around your house could save your energy bill by about one third just by having trees in the right place. Having in the wrong place could cause problems, but having the right place, they have a significant economic benefit to us. So they provide a whole range of different opportunities and positive things, but these are not necessarily aired very often. It's the kind of immediate impacts, and there's a tree in the way when I'm trying to look for the road sign or something. But we need to understand that they're part of the natural world, we're part of the natural world, and our relationship with trees very much mimics our understanding relationship with nature in general. And so we do need to have a little bit more tolerance, because basically it's vital for our own well-being as well as other species on the planet.
And to develop upon that, how do you think we could better communicate both the benefits and the disbenefits of street trees? I mean, what do you think might be a positive and constructive way of doing that?
Yeah, it does depend obviously the politics of the particular situation. I mean, we're in the research world are often asked to give some sort of monetary or economic value around a tree, and it is significant. Now, I'm not necessarily arguing that we should always just value things by pounds, shillings and pence, but I think an awareness that we are a natural creature and we have a natural habitat, and some of these things are really important for our own well-being. And whether that's physical, such as mitigating noise and air pollution, or whether it's psychological, that there are very, very significant and strong benefits with having a green space near you and around you. And we've got lots of data now that show health matrices changing as you move away from green spaces. And we've always assumed these things were psychological, but they may actually be a physical relationship. So we did some research recently with colleagues in Australia looking at proximity to green space and what we call positive microbial communities. So these are the communities that we sometimes ingest through food, but we also breathe in, and they actually affect our gut health. So a healthy gut relates to a healthy mind. It helps our immunity, but it also helps regulate our hormonal systems as well as our immune systems. And so we're correlating that the greener places are the ones that have healthier microbes, have healthier microbiomes in the human, and that we think now affects mental health. So all the issues around the whole idea of the mental health crisis may partially relate to things like our engagement with nature and valuing of nature. So these are big, significant economic factors. And you've got to think, why do most people want to live in the green part of the city and not the grey part of the city?
And so this, it seems an interesting shift. Maybe we talk about the politics of street trees, but maybe it's also the politics of the entire urban environment and the complex ways in which that interacts with human health. Do you think that's something that might emerge onto the political agenda more broadly? We're talking about the impact of trees, but then also of pollution. Is that something that you could elaborate upon?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think trees are very much a metaphor for our understanding and engagement with nature. And we have tended naturally enough to exploit nature for most of our history, but now nature itself is under pressure. And street trees are very much an epitome of our attitude to that wider natural environment. And if we can't find space for trees, hopefully even some of the smaller ones in our city centre, it's not a good sign for our relationship outside the city centre. Especially when we understand, increasingly understand the benefits that the trees bring. And that, we haven't even talked about wildlife yet, you know, and all the value that goes when you see the robins and the blackbirds and everything else that the trees bring in.
Thank you all for those very insightful responses. However, I feel there may be some things missing. And Matt, I was wondering if you could maybe enlighten us as to what we need to be addressing in this debate.
What are we missing? We're missing loads of issues because the street trees does have long-standing roots and it branches out into lots of different topics. The one obvious one I would say is that the even in Sheffield, there was a class dynamic around the whole debate. It was seen, and some actors strategically framed it as the rich middle class leafy suburbs moaning about what they haven't got and not understanding the real world of the rest of the city. And that was an interesting part of a very complex blame game. But I think there is also something to be said that not everybody will see street trees as a major priority in their life. Also, Sheffield City Council has been operating under huge pressure of increasing demands, massively shrinking budgets. That's not to excuse the breakdown of communication, but it is to contextualise the fact that street trees are one demand of a much broader portfolio.
If I could come in there, Matt, I think that's really interesting. And I think it brings up a couple of things. So sometimes that debate seemed to be it's trees or health and social care, which is not a very helpful debate to have. And the fact that we're not able to bring those things together, they have to be polarised or put on either ends of the scale. That makes perhaps for good headlines, but in reality, is there another way that we could be doing this? I think I totally agree. There are other things that are on people's minds. It might be from being able to park outside the house and not having a tree blocking the way. It might be other issues that just means that street trees are not on the agenda. I think absolutely we have to be mindful of that. And then the pressures that the council were facing, I think some of that politicising that Matt, you were talking about, was also sort of a way of trying to explain or justify we have to just get this program done and get it kind of happening. And therefore the class debate being brought in, I think, was a quite handy way of kind of excusing really the need, which was a financial need for the council, because they made this massive commitment and national government made the commitment as well to this project to get it done. And that's also seemed to be quite a big theme that came out as the years rumbled by.
Yeah, I think while understanding the sort of actuality on the ground, we also need to understand, though, the actual wider economic picture. And it doesn't matter which part of the city you're in, trees are probably providing a benefit, a really large ratio of benefit to cost analysis. So to say that, you know, they can be protected somewhere and other parts of the city flood, or other parts of the city deserve poorer air quality, or that people don't get the psychological benefits in certain parts of the city, is a really strong political and hot topic. And because we're not educated enough about trees, shouldn't mean that we're not having some of these things more of a political debate and making more rational decisions. The point I would just make is that as a biologist, these things are really important to our environment, and we should be looking for the right type of tree in the right type of neighbourhood and to optimise the benefits.
Can I just come in there, not as a biologist, but as a political scientist? Political science actually spends a lot of time talking about ecosystems. And what was really interesting about Sheffield at that particular point was the council had a very dominant culture which was not engaging. I think it would be possible to break down the whole issue around less than a handful of key people. And it's just, for me, a really interesting case study of how the failure of a tiny number of people to understand and engage can build momentum and cause much bigger problems. The reason why we have moved to a different climate of openness, transparency, community participation is because there's been a change to a large extent in the leadership of the city. It's also an interesting issue around the governance of the city. It was a very centralised governance model, which was hard to break into. Again, the amazing thing about street trees is that it evolved to become a broader campaign about democratic reform. It's our city, which, against all the odds, got the petition through and has affected now the governance of the city towards a committee-based model. No guarantees that is going to deliver better decision-making, But what's interesting is you can see the whole street trees as an example of politics working. That actually local people were able to exert pressure, to force change, to use structures. It was slow, messy and cumbersome. But everything that the street tree protesters were told couldn't happen and wouldn't happen has happened.
So I'm going to ask a question of each of you, which is, what aspect of the politics of street trees do you think that we need to address? And Ross, we'll start with you.
Yeah, one area I'm interested in is the sort of the uneven bias towards the legal aspect of trees. And naturally, people are concerned if there's a tree there, it may damage the car, it may damage the pavement, etc. And we need to manage that, that's true. But what we're not doing is protecting the trees from the opposite point of view. And the reality is that if we take trees out, we are actually damaging citizens' health, we are damaging the environment, but that never comes into the legal argument. So trees, whether you believe they themselves have an intrinsic right or not, you have to understand that they're providing benefits. And if we remove them, then we are potentially damaging the citizens that are around those trees too. And so we need to get a much more balanced legal situation that the value and the costs are more evenly balanced.
And Nicola, a lot of the work that you do is around placekeeping. And I was just wondering, in terms of the politics of that as an issue and the politics of street trees, are there anything that you wish to make sure is part of the debate?
I think following on from the idea of the unequal spread of trees across the city, I think you can see that in the parks and green spaces that we have around the city. So I think that there's something about what people expect, are used to in their kind of everyday urban environment. And I think following on from what Ross was saying, I think that, you know, there are those benefits that we get from trees that maybe not everybody is aware of, but that everybody should have access to those street trees. And if that is then going to open up a debate about why we all should live in places where the air quality is better, where the biodiversity is better, then I think that that is also perhaps might take us onto that route of trying to deal with the kind of the real legal issues or the gaps in creating places that people want to live in, alongside a legal framework that allows that to happen as well and does not then lead us to other cities cutting down trees as Sheffield did as well in the pursuit of smooth footpaths and smooth roads.
And Matthew, with this idea of political ecology, how is that something that we could more usefully relate to the politics of street trees?
I think there are very simple links. The political electoral cycle is very short. It doesn't do anything to incentivise long-term thinking, which the management of street trees needs. So I think there is a basic issue around the alignment of political decision-making with long-term thinking. And of course, this is true in a whole range of areas. Listening to Ross and Nicola, I think there's actually a major role here for universities. There's a raw politics at play, which is around evidential basis of public value. And at a time when, whether we like it or not, most politicians and policymakers up and down the country, from Swindon to Scunthorpe, are thinking about basic challenges of cost of living, food banks, people living rough on the streets, social care crisis, mental health crisis, to then start trying to bring the issue of street trees into that spectrum of issues is at the moment very difficult, unless you have a very strong evidence base for why street trees really matter. And until we have that evidence base around the value and contribution of street trees, I think they will be at risk of having smooth pavements and smooth trees and a risk-averse society. So there's a big issue around here, universities and the whole research agenda of delivering that hard evidence base to put street trees and their value on the political agenda.
I think that in itself is actually quite a powerful note to end on. Thank you very much, Matt, Nicola and Ross, for what has been an absolutely fascinating discussion as to the politics of Sheffield street trees. Hopefully this won't be the end of the discussion. Like I said, we published the politics of street trees earlier this year, but hopefully this is a really strong indicator of the very fruitful research that can come from the topic. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the festival, please visit www.offtheshelf.org.uk. We'd love to hear your thoughts and responses on social media. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.